It's just really exciting to be here. Again, I just want to say welcome if you're visiting. It's just a really good morning. What I'm going to do is probably just for about 20 minutes, I'm going to read some verses from the Bible and then just speak about what God is saying to us through the Bible. So if you've got your Bible with you, could you turn, please, to Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 25. And if you haven't got your Bible with you, don't worry, I'll just read it out. It's still quite echoey, isn't it? Oh, how about that? Is that better?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 25. One day, Jesus left the crowds to pray alone. Only his disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say that you are one of the ancient prophets risen from the dead." And then Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied and said this, "You are the Messiah, sent from God." Now Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anybody who he was, because he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders and by the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." And then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose yourself?" Really great verses there. I just want to let you know that there are people have many, many different responses to church. Some people love church. They just can't get enough of church. They want to come to everything that's going on. They really, really love church. Some people are like intrigued by church, but to be honest, they've been a little bit hurt by church. I spoke to somebody just the other day over a dinner, and she said, "Oh, I'm really spiritually like inquiring, but I hate church leaders. I don't trust them at all." And I thought this was going to be this really good conversation. And they said, "No, but I hate church leaders. Yeah, I don't really like them at all." There are some, thanks, Chris, that's what she says, yeah. There are some other people as well that are saying, "Do you know what, church? Nah, not bothered. So what? Doesn't make any difference to my life whatsoever." And then there's another group of people who actively, virulently hate church. Did you know that? There was a men's breakfast here yesterday, which was fantastic. So we always like to get the men working. So the first thing that we got the men working was, we sent out a text, actually Cooley sent out a text saying, "Look, there's 2 or 3 tons of sand we've got to move from outside there to round the back there." Little did we know, it was closer to 20 tons of sand, okay. So we moved all these tons, but we were getting a sweat going, and we shifted this sand from there around the back. But there was one guy there who was one of the workmen for Barrett's, and I've spoken to him a few times. Manuela has spoken to him a few times. He hates church a lot, doesn't he?
It offends him.
What did he say about it?
He hates religious people, churches, church leaders. He's not just atheist, it offends the fiber of his being.
So anyway, he had breakfast with us at the men's breakfast yesterday, okay? But do you know what? One of the things was that what he kept saying was, he said, "Church offends me, and nothing against you guys," is what he said. Nothing against you, but church offends me. Now, I think the way that people react to church is largely irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether you love church, want to come to everything, or whether you virulently hate it. What matters is this: how you respond to Jesus Christ. That's what matters. How you respond to Jesus. Did you know that this church, it's not your church? I don't mean to sort of like let you know anything. It's not your church. It's definitely not my church. It's not even our church. This is Jesus' church. Amen. And he sets the agenda. And actually, the response is not whether you like or dislike church, but some people hate it, but it's how do we respond to Jesus? And these verses that we wrote, was this question when Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And I think in this church, we want to be fairly open. We want to do three things. We want to be really committed to worshiping Jesus, just loving him and being in his presence. The second thing is that we do want to see people come to a saving faith in Jesus. We want to see more people come into a place like Caleb and like Brenda. They come to this place of trusting Jesus. And then the other thing that we want to do is we want to make this a better place to live. We want Barnet or Haringey or wherever it is that you live, or Manchester, wherever it is, we want people to make wherever they live a better place to live and work. These verses talk about how do we respond to Jesus. And it just gives us a template. How did Jesus react with people? And just four very quick things. The first thing that Jesus did is he prayed. It says here right at the beginning, one day Jesus left the crowds alone to pray. I just need to let you know, if this morning you're here at church and you've come to visit and you're not a Christian, then you think, firstly, you're really welcome. Secondly, did you know that there are people probably praying for you? There are. And in fact, you know, we've just redone this floor here. Well, you may not know. But we've just recovered the floor in here. And over in that corner, we wrote down loads of names of people we were praying for. So if you're not a Christian here, and then they covered the floor over, they glued over, so those names will forever be on that floor. But we just need to, we're praying, because Jesus, what he did was, he went alone and he prayed. And actually, we want to be people that pray for people, that they would find peace with God through Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian here this morning, I really hope you are praying for your friends. I hope that you are praying that your friends would find peace through Jesus. And I hope that you are praying that you would be an outstanding witness to your friends. Because the truth of the matter is, remarkable things happen when people pray. This church is just a catalogue of examples of things that were different when we prayed. Because God loves it when people pray. And I don't know why he does it. Trust me, I don't know why he does it. But he chooses to do things when we pray that he wouldn't do if we didn't. Because he loves to engage with his people. So the first thing did was this, he prayed. The second thing is that it says Jesus was, he left the crowds to pray alone, and only his disciples were with him. Jesus took some time away from the crowds to be with his friends. And did you know that friendship and community and family, they are important? Did you know that? You know, I don't know if you saw the results of, what was it, the loneliness experiment that the BBC ran recently. They launched it on Valentine's Day, of all days, this year, and they've just released the results now. And there's an epidemic of loneliness, you know, in our community. People feel very, very lonely. Apparently, 27% of over 75s feel lonely often or very often. Okay, this is the one that might surprise me. Nearly 40% of 16 to 24-year-olds feel lonely often or very often. And this was a quote by one of the young people that responded. It said, I'm surrounded by people constantly, but I feel so lonely. I feel so lonely. And we're not going to go into all the reasons for that. It could be social media and all sorts of things. But you know, there was something about when Jesus went away with his friends and he prayed, but he took friends with him. And actually, we do want to be a church where there is this sense of family and sense of community. And when somebody like Caleb gets baptized, and we celebrate, and we think, this is great fun, we love it. And that's why afterwards we're having a lunch. We're not having a lunch just because it's really easy and convenient to eat together, then we can go off and do real life. No, we're doing it because actually we want to share something of who we are together. And just to let you know, yesterday I came early and helped to shift all the sand. And it was very good. But then I had to say very quietly before the breakfast started, I'm going now, because some friend of mine had asked me to go fly fishing. Okay, now, has anyone ever been fly fishing before?
No, we're not old men.
You're not J.R. Hartley or whoever it is. Okay, But honestly, I am not a fisherman. I am not patient enough to be a fisherman, okay? It's not really me just standing there going, rah, rah. But anyway, I went fly fishing and it was extraordinary. And this old guy who was about 140 showed me how to do this fly fishing. And guess what? I caught a fish. It was so exciting. It was so exciting that then there's this thing on the end of the thing. Anyway, it was this rainbow trout that is now in our fridge. And we're going to eat it later on. I had to hit it on its head. Anyway, that's enough of that one. But the reason, I went with two guys. One of them is my neighbour. He lives a few houses away from me. And the other guy is the guy that I play rugby with. Now, the reality is I want to be a guy that has lots of non-Christian friends. I want to do that. I want to do it because those guys are actually they're just intrigued. Did you know that what you hit, the thing that you hit a fish over the head with to kill it is called what? It's a priest. It's a priest. So they get this thing out, and I don't know why, but it was a chisel from Wix that you get out this bang and bang this thing on the head. But anyway. But it was called a priest. And even that, they would just think, oh, should you do that? I don't know, should you? I don't know. But I do want to be in the mix. I want to be in the mix and I want to have genuine friendships. I want to have friendships where people feel that they are not a project, but I want to have genuine friendships when I want to spend time with them, but they see something of the glory of God in my life. I do want to do that. And actually, that's what we want to be as a church. We want to be people who have genuine, authentic friendships. And I think if you hear, you'd say you're not a Christian at the moment and you've got Christian friends, just ask them all the mean questions you can. Just pump them for information. Ask them. Ask them why did they believe. I've been sort of like ridiculed and mocked. I was in a pub once and I felt like the whole pub was against me. And you think, I don't mind actually. But I do want to be in this place where people can engage. And I want to share my faith. And that is what Jesus did. He shared his faith through friendship. What Jesus did then was he did this. He asked his friends a question. And he said this, who do you think I am? If you notice, Jesus didn't lecture them. He didn't badger them. He didn't sort of like go on and on and on and on about them. But he just said this, who do you think that I am? And I think it's a good question for every single one of us here. I want to ask myself, who do I think, Jesus, that you are? And if you've been a Christian for years, it's because you made a decision. You thought about who Jesus was and you responded to it. And then the question is, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, how are you going to live differently? What are you going to do differently this afternoon that you would do if you weren't a Christian? And if you're not a Christian here today, I want to ask you the question. Who do you think that Jesus is? What does he say about himself? Read something in the Bible. I'm trying to understand. Who is Jesus? You can't get away from making some response to Jesus. Because all of our society is built on Jesus Christ. We're living in the year, apparently, 2018 years since Christ was born. Our whole democracy is built on biblical values. You have to make some response to who Jesus is. The one thing that we do want to do is that actually sometimes these questions come and they go, but there is a really good place to ask those questions. And we want to run an alpha course, like here, in the church in January, because it's just a really good place where you can ask all the questions that you want. So have we got the Alpha have just redone all their videos, and just to let you know what will happen on the Alpha course, and we'll start it. I'm going to talk with Cooley and we'll arrange a date, but it will start in January. But what happens is 5 minutes that talks about some area of Christianity. Who is Jesus? Why do Christians pray? Why did Jesus die? All of those questions. You have supper, you watch a program about it, and then you sit on your tables and you rip it apart as much as you can. And Alpha works best when you have really strong questions. But anyway, if we can watch that video, this is just a 2.5-minute video that shows something of what Alpha is like.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like, why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
And I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. No question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
They redid all the videos. They're just really, really good. You'll be able to sign up to join the Alpha course online, but it will start in January. Just a really good place to come and see different aspects of faith and ask all the questions. Just the last thing that I want to mention that Jesus did in here. He not only prayed, he built friendships, and he asked questions. But he trusted that his Heavenly Father would do his work amongst his friends. And in fact, what happened was this. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go and tell everybody about me just yet. He said, no, don't tell everybody just yet, because he knew his disciples realized who he was, but he knew he had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross, and he had to die. He had to be punished for your sins and for my sins. And he had to go into a tomb and then be raised from the dead before, really, he could tell everybody who he was. And that's why he said, don't tell everyone yet. My time hasn't yet come. But he trusted his Heavenly Father. And if as a Christian, I want to see my non-Christian friends saved, you know, all I have to do is this. I have to pray for them. I have to build friendships. I have to ask questions. But ultimately, I just have to trust them to God, because I can't save them. It's not down to me, it's down to God to save them. And if you're not a Christian, sometimes you just need to trust that God will be at work in your life, that God wants to bring blessing to you and hope and purpose and meaning. Like Brenda and Caleb, they made a decision to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to, in a minute, just ask us to stand. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll come back into a time of worship. But before we do that, I do want to give an opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. You're not going to have to put your hand up. You're not going to have to do anything like that. The time to sort of come up, be up front, is when you get baptized. Actually, if you want to give your life to Christ, that's something you do in your heart. The time when you go public is when you stand here and you say, look, I'm all in for you, King Jesus. And then you go into your room and you pray. But I'm just going to ask you in a minute to stand, and then I'm going to pray over us. and then we're going to come back to worship. Is that okay? Just stand, could you? This is the verse that I read from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and it says this. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, says Jesus, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? In a moment, I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to follow it in the quietness of your own heart, I'd invite you to do that. But beware, it's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer. Because Jesus is saying, I want you to give me your life. There's a dangerousness to it. But as we give our lives to Christ, he gives us so much more in return. Hope and joy and peace and eternal life. So I'm going to pray a prayer that says sorry, and then says please, and then says thank you. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the things that I've done that have been wrong in my life. Forgive me. And I now turn away from everything that I know to be wrong. But thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you were punished when I should have been. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. Thank you that you offer me the gift of your Holy Spirit, and I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by the power of the Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you just followed that prayer in the quietness of your heart and you meant it, I'd encourage you to go back to your home, to close the door and to read something of the Bible, read John's Gospel. Come and talk to a friend that you know is a Christian. You can come and talk to me if you want to. But Father, we want to thank you that you are doing a great work in our lives. Lord, we want to pray for Caleb. We want to pray for Brenda. Lord, we thank you that they stood here this morning and publicly declared their love for you. We want to pray your blessing all over them, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.